Thanks for joining us here in the Death Shifter Den. We hope everyone had a great Christmas and New Year. Now that the holidays are over, you need something to fill your time with. Boom. Death Shifter.
Nice story. Hey, where are the guys at?
I thought it was your turn to watch them. Fuck, they could be lost.
They're adults that have been here plenty of times before. You really think they got lost?
Those idiots definitely got lost.
Oh, hey, Death Guide. I didn't realize you were here again. The contract?
Yeah, the contract. Getting tips doesn't really amount to much. So, I had to take this fucking deal.
Wow. I can't believe he's here and the guys aren't. Andy has an excuse since he's gone this week, but the other three...
Sorry, guys. You aren't gonna believe this, but a bunch of monkeys riding penguins caused all of the traffic to stop and get backed up.
It was absolute carnage. The cops showed up and had to wrangle the little bastards up.
One of the monkeys was strapped with a ton of C4 and rode a sliding penguin at the officer's car, blowing them the fuck up.
Just say that you guys got lost. Nobody ever believes your crazy-ass stories.
So there weren't actually any monkeys or penguins?
No, we got lost. Andy usually drives, and we never pay any attention.
Dude's crazy when he drives.
You can't look out the windows without smacking your head into it.
Wait, those are what the helmets are for?
I'm not even gonna ask. Oh good, we got some more mail.
Our first question comes from Sebastian the Frog 98. Last episode, you guys mentioned that you were about halfway through season 1. Does that mean there will be 10 episodes this season?
We're still talking about it together as a team and trying to figure out what would be best for the story. It'll probably be somewhere around 10 or 12.
Either way, season 2 won't take long to start. Plus, the additional episodes we'll be releasing. It's still a working title, but you can catch that first episode on January 11th.
Those are going to be so fun, and somewhat educational. We'll still be releasing our bonus episodes through Patreon, too.
Our next question comes from The Sacred Beef 211. Will you ever have any guests on your show?
That's something we've thought about, and the answer is, at some point we will. We're thinking a quick interview before or after the episode, or maybe have them voice a character in an episode.
The last question comes from WizardlyMagic887. I love the story so far, but how much longer until we get more information about Clay and who he was?
I think someone asked something similar to this in a previous episode. We're going to make you guys wait while slowly revealing things about him. It's eventually going to be a bigger part of the story.
I'm ready to finally see what the Fritz house looks like. Start the episode.
Episode 6, Walking in a Wizard Wonderland. Clay tosses and turns, trying to sleep. The dreams he has don't feel like his own. Scenes of what seems to be someone else's life flash rapidly as his eyes move back and forth under his eyelids. Different emotions come over him as Vlad appears, standing in a sandy canyon with pine trees growing sporadically along the walls. A female imp in a dark red cloak walks next to him, holding his hand. Clay tries to move closer but can't. A horde of creatures in black robes with green hoods jump down into the canyon and surround Vlad and the female imp. Clay yells out to him, but his voice is silent. He watches as the horde of hooded creatures close in on them. Callie's voice drowns out the dream, waking Clay up.
Rise and shine, motherfuckers! Better get your asses down here and eat your breakfast before it gets cold.
Silence fills the giant house the friends live in for a couple of seconds before a loud thud, followed by a scurrying sound, is heard. Clay laughs.
Who needs an alarm clock when you have her to wake you up?
Clay gets out of the makeshift bed Herman made for him and stands to his feet. He looks around while stretching.
How can they afford to live in a place like this?
Callie and Barry made it sound like their place was a shithole.
He picks up a black t-shirt and jeans that were lying next to the suit Steve gave him in the underworld. After getting dressed, he walks to the ladder at the end of the loft and climbs down. Wesley steps out of his room, holding a blue hoodie.
Man, it's gonna be a tit-bit nippy outside for a while. How'd you sleep up in the abyss?
Clay snickers before looking over at a window in the hallway to see snow falling outside.
The abyss? I slept fine. Wait, how does it snow in Unity's dream? Everywhere we've been has been warm and sunny.
Herman pushes through his door below them and yells up the stairs at them.
You better hurry up. Callie never cooks and you won't like her when she's angry. I will tell you about the snow in a little bit.
Wesley chuckles while walking towards the stairs.
Come on, Clay. You're probably wondering how we can afford to live in this dope house too, right? We'll fill you in at breakfast.
The two walk to the end of the hall to a spiral staircase that leads 4 stories down. Herman stands on the 3rd floor below them.
That's you moving fast? I can feel Callie's anger boiling up.
Wesley jumps off the side of the stairs and opens his wings to glide down to the main floor. He puts on the hoodie and runs towards the kitchen. Clay yells down to him.
Hey, damn dragon, that's not fair.
Herman gets upset while running down the stairs.
Callie's told him not to do that in the house. Callie!
A door on the 2nd floor opens and Barry walks out.
What's with all the volume first thing in the morning?
Clay runs past them, chasing after Herman.
Hey, Barry. And it's 1 in the afternoon.
Barry floats down behind them. The three get to the main floor and make it to the kitchen. Herman runs in and is about to yell at Callie, but she interrupts him while pointing towards the giant marble table with the beanbag chairs and cushioned recliners surrounding it.
Quit being such a fucking teacher's pet, you big snitchy bitch. And as for Wes, that little shit knows this is a no-fly zone.
She points over to the sink where Wesley stands in an apron washing the huge pile of dishes Callie used while making breakfast. Clay and Barry laugh while joining Herman at the table. Wesley scoffs.
Whatever. It's centaur shit that Barry gets to fly in the house.
Barry stands.
Look here, Wesley. Pixie wings have never been known to strike terror or cause wanton destruction like those of a dragon. Damn it, I won't sink to you two's childish level of bickering like this.
Callie brings over the different food plates to the table.
You can do whatever you want as long as you sit your ass down and eat this wonderful breakfast. Wesley, come eat. Finish the dishes after breakfast and maybe you'll think twice next time and keep it in your shirt.
Clay smiles while watching Wesley remove the apron and sit at the table.
I knew there was more to this group's friendship. You're a family. Callie acts like the mom and takes care of you, and the three of you act like children already, so it works perfectly.
Callie chuckles to herself while sitting down with them.
Once upon a time, it may have been like that, but these days, we all tend to take care of each other. Herman usually cooks, Barry is super anal about cleaning, and Wes does all the bitch work.
Callie tries to hold the sadness back as she looks down at the plate of scrambled eggs in front of her. Herman reaches over and rubs her back.
Callie doesn't like being called the mom. It makes her feel like her real age and reminds her of everything she's been through.
Callie raises her head and wipes the tears away. She smiles at Clay.
It's fine. He already knows about our beautiful little pixie that found their way into my life at such a young age. I suppose he should hear the full story about everyone else, too.
Wesley sits forward in his chair and reaches for the bacon.
My parents didn't go into hiding with my grandpa, Ed. They wanted to stay and fight with the other dragons. I was too small, so I was forced to go with my grandpa. He never really took care of me and despised my parents for leaving me with him. Long story short, Callie found me after he abandoned me on the surface.
Herman nudges Wesley.
You wouldn't have your best friend, aka me, if it didn't happen that way. I mentioned that my father saw what happened to Barry's parents on the news 20 years ago. After that, he was afraid to leave our village. He eventually went insane and harmed my mother and sister. I tried to stop him, but I was too small. After the other villagers finally put him down, it was too late for me. They cast me out in fear that I would do the same thing. I was wandering through the Uriah Desert alone when I saw Callie walking with Barry and Wesley.
Barry smiles wide while taking the bacon from Wesley.
I'll never forget the day we found Herman and rounded out our team of four. Remember, we all played...
Wesley laughs while jumping in.
Played the hidden artifact.
Clay scoops some potatoes onto his plate.
The hidden artifact? What game was this?
Callie smirks at them.
Honestly, it was a game that I made up to make my life really fucking easy. And to this day, they still haven't found the artifact in that fucking desert.
Herman chuckles.
Callie was a treasure hunter when she found all of us. She was one of the best in the world at the time, too. She would have us play a game so we'd actually end up helping her on her treasure hunting.
Clay takes a bite of his food.
No way. I would have never guessed. What made you become a treasure hunter?
Callie shakes her head.
I think that's a story for another time. That one still stings a little.
Clay nods his head.
I'm sorry. So I'm guessing that since you were one of the best in the world, you must have found some pretty expensive items.
She laughs while sitting back in her chair.
Do you think all of this just fell out of the sky? Without any of us having muggle jobs, how did you think we afforded this place?
Wesley grins with excitement.
Callie had the carpenters do whatever we wanted with our rooms after she designed the whole place. It's 4 stories and we only use 1 of the 2 rooms on each floor. There's also a basement, but that's where Callie keeps all of her precious valuables and memories.
She nods while looking over at Clay.
Just don't go down there unless I say so. Okay, thanks.
He takes another bite of his food before looking over at Herman.
What about the snow outside?
Herman finishes chewing.
I don't have a scientific explanation for this one, or anything for that matter. It's a mystery to everyone in Unity's dream. The only theory that has any sort of support is there's a translucent dome that forms around our city.
Clay stares back at him, confused.
And then dumps snow on you for however long and that's it? That doesn't make any sense.
Callie stands to her feet and starts to clear the food off the table. Barry looks over at Clay.
We actually super love our snow in Unity's dream. It always seems to bring all the races together for some reason.
Clay looks around at them.
Well, after seeing everything we've seen the past couple of days, I'm going to go ahead and assume that Vlad has something to do with it. Speaking of, have any of your bracelets flashed yet?
They all shake their heads as Callie brings more food to the table.
Since we decided it was a fantastic idea to sleep through Thursday, we all lost a day. Eat and make it up. With how things have been, we're going to need it.
Wesley laughs.
A whole day? Fuck. I haven't done that since last year's Reign of Fire pity party.
Barry grabs the plate of bacon while looking at him.
Bruh, do not mention the day that must not be mentioned.
Herman gets a look of guilt on his face while grabbing the potatoes.
We agreed to never speak of that day again. It hurts my heart.
Callie looks at Clay.
I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. Anywho, Clay, would you like to go see Unity's dream?
He nods his head while stuffing his face with the food.
I was hoping to see the rest of your house before we left, especially if I'm going to be living here. Where am I going to stay?
She smiles.
It's pretty simple. You pick a room, and I call the contractors I know, and they'll make it yours. You will feel right at home in no time.
He stands in excitement.
Wait, seriously? However I want?
She nods while looking over at the others.
Why don't the two of you show him around while Wesley and I clean up here?
Wesley stands and walks over to the dishes. He puts on the apron and looks at Callie.
Why am I always the only one that's in trouble?
Callie looks back at him.
It blows my mind that you haven't taken a good look at some of your actions and came to a solid conclusion as to why and how you fucked up, dipshit.
He scoffs while continuing the dishes. Barry and Herman lead Clay out of the kitchen and stand at the bottom of the spiral staircase. Barry points down the hall to the left.
Callie's room is down that way, along with the living room and gym.
They get to Callie's door, and Herman opens it. Her bed lies in the middle of a giant forest-like room. Vines hang down from the ceiling, while trees and bushes grow from the grassy floor. Barry shuts the door and heads for the next one.
Callie really likes to stay in touch with her roots.
Herman stands in front of the next door and slides it open, revealing an enormous TV that acts as one of the walls in the room.
This is the living room where we congregate. Our movie nights take place here, but it's mostly hogged by Callie and Wesley watching sports.
Clay looks around and notices a bar in the back corner with different glass bottles filled with alcohol. Three couches stack behind one another, making the room like a theater. Barry pushes them out of the room and goes to the next one and opens the door.
This is where the crew gets fit and swole, and Callie strongly encourages us to keep up with our cardio daily. Blech.
Herman starts to walk back down the hall.
Well, Barry's the only one that needs the encouragement. Wesley and I like to work out and stay in shape.
Clay laughs while following Herman down the hall. Barry floats after them.
Look, bud, I burn enough calories flying around on these sick-ass wings. I don't need your shit.
As they stand at the bottom of the stairs, Wesley runs out of the kitchen and joins them.
He's already seen the abyss, but Clay didn't get to see Minor Herman's room.
Callie walks out of the kitchen and past them to the stairs.
Well, you might want to get some pep in those steps. The snow is picking up, which means everything in Unity's dream will be closing 2 hours early today.
The four of them run past Callie up to the top floor. She follows behind, and her smile starts to fade.
It just feels like home, like it did all those years ago.
She stops and looks down at the ground.
Maybe it's time to stop running from my past and accept everything that's happened.
Barry looks back at her.
Let's go, you cute little elf on a step.
Callie shakes the thought away and forces a smile on her face again. She catches up to the others and gets to Wesley's room.
Now, before you see this, there's nothing to worry about. It's just a dragon thing.
Wesley scoffs.
Whatever. He's gonna think it's rad.
He pushes the door open and walks into a massive room filled with gold treasures he's collected throughout his life. The bed sits on chrome legs while the mattress and sheets are all gold. Callie laughs while shaking her head.
He was always such a proud young whelp when he would find treasures himself. He couldn't help himself, just like his ancestors before him. Greedy bastards.
Wesley stands proud, looking at Clay.
Pretty fucking cool, right?
Clay nods his head while trying not to laugh.
Yeah, man. It's a little too much gold for me personally, but yeah, cool.
They walk out of his room and make their way back to the stairs. Herman points across to the other side of the house.
Over there could be your room if you want it. Otherwise, it's going to be a science lab that Callie promised me a while ago.
Callie laughs while leading them down the stairs to the third floor.
Well, now that we're on good terms with that walking penis of a vampire named Vlad, it would be pretty easy.
He gets excited while running past everyone on the stairs to his bedroom door.
Ooh, you really mean that?
Barry floats over and pats him on the back.
relationship with Vlad is really opening doors. I'm just glad they aren't coffins.
Wesley nods while walking over and opening the door.
You're supposed to be the smart one, Herm. Because of Clay and Vlad, Callie can finally finish the house the way that she always wanted to.
Callie walks past them into Herman's room.
I'm trying to figure out why we need two science labs. I know you're a nerd, but fuck.
Herman scoffs while grabbing a beaker full of liquid off his desk and moves it into the mini fridge.
My room would be cool and awesome if I actually had a science lab to be able to organize all this stuff in.
Clay looks around at all the science equipment.
Dude, how do you sleep in here without a bed?
He smiles while picking up a remote control and pressing a button. The ground beneath them rumbles before a latch opens up. Herman's bed slowly rises out of the ground.
This is cool though, right? This is how I make do with no science lab.
Callie scoffs while walking out of his room.
We have the extra space, and although I don't feel it's necessary, I'll talk to Vlad and see what we can do.
He fist pumps while following everyone out of his room. They make their way to the second floor. Barry floats in front of them and stops in front of their door.
Okay, I generally don't let anyone come in here. My room is set up kind of delicately to mimic my life back in Luminessa, so that I can exist in a frequent state of nostalgia when in my personal space.
They push the door open, revealing a black light illuminating the room. Yellow, green, orange, and red neon lights glow on the shrubbery that lines the walls and the floors. Different colored stars and planets shine brightly on the ceiling as Barry's bed rotates in the center. They all look around in awe as Barry sits down on the bed.
I sleep easier this way.
Clay smiles while sitting on the bed next to them.
It's beautiful. Luminessa looks like this?
Callie stands in front of them.
It's a sight to behold, and definitely not one to be taken for granted. Hopefully we can all go one day.
Barry nods while jumping off the bed.
Yeah, the Pixies got real protective after everything went down with my parents. They closed Luminessa off to the rest of the world. Embargoes, border walls, the works. May have been a tad of an overreaction.
Clay stands and follows the others out of Barry's room.
This house is amazing. Thanks for letting me live here with you.
Callie smiles while walking back towards the stairs.
No need to thank me. You're part of this little makeshift family now. Stay as long as you like.
Clay nods while looking at the others.
Thanks, guys. So, Callie, she's a lot different here at the house.
Wesley starts to walk down the stairs.
It's her way of coping with everything that's happened in her life. Something must have reminded her of her old life before any of us or even treasure hunting.
Barry follows behind him.
In the 300 years she's been alive, that girl has seen some shit, okay? That's actually why Herman and Wesley are always goofing off like children. They help to distract her from ruminating too much on her past tragedies.
Herman smiles while pushing Clay towards the stairs.
I wouldn't ask too many questions, Clay. She'll talk to you when she's ready. We're still waiting to hear the story of how she became a treasure hunter. She always pushes that one off, but it's better not to pry.
Callie stands at the bottom of the stairs, looking up at them.
Be sure to grab your coats because it's fucking shitting. I mean, snowing outside.
Clay looks back at her.
I don't have any clothes except for the ones I'm wearing and that suit from the underworld.
She smiles while pointing at a closet next to the front door.
That closet over there has some jackets. I'm sure there is something in there that Herman grew out of.
Herman runs over and helps him find a coat. He finds a dark gray one and helps Clay into it.
Here you go, buddy. I haven't worn this one for a while. Barry's washed it a few times, so it shouldn't smell orky.
Clay chuckles.
No worries, Herm. I appreciate you letting me borrow it.
Herman smiles.
No need to borrow it. I'm sure there's plenty of old ones that Callie's kept around.
Clay holds in his emotion while looking back at him and the others.
Thanks to all of you. I'm ready to see Unity's dream.
The five of them walk towards the two giant front doors with battle axes hanging on them. Callie stops and places her hands on both of them.
Thanks for taking care of the house. We'll be back before you know it.
Clay looks at the others, confused.
Is she talking to those axes?
Herman and Wesley nod their heads while Barry puts their arm around him.
Oh yeah, don't worry. They're haunted or some shit, but good luck getting Cal to talk about that.
Callie scoffs before walking out into the foot of snow.
Just let me have a moment, damn. Don't think about it too hard. You might hurt yourself.
She continues to walk away from their house toward a running car waiting for them on the other side of a gate. Clay walks through the snow with the others.
Is that brown SUV normal too?
Wesley smiles while grabbing some snow.
Yeah, that's just Klaus of DeBrusif. You're gonna love him.
Wesley throws a snowball at Herman's head. Herman turns and looks at him with it stuck to his ear. Wesley laughs before realizing Herman's holding one much bigger than the one he threw. He tries to run away, but Clay sticks his foot out and trips him. Herman walks over and drops a jumbo snowball on top of Wesley.
Nice one, Clay. You don't know what you just started, Wesley. You're not ready for this.
He laughs while walking past them. Clay reaches down and helps Wesley up.
Sorry, bud. I had to help him get you once, so that he felt overconfident.
Wesley smirks while grabbing Clay's hand. He stands to his feet while looking at Herman getting into the car.
We got you now, you big orc bastard.
The two continue through the snow to the car. Barry stands at the open door, waiting for them.
It's too cold for this shit. Better not track any of that snow into Klaus DeBrusev's car.
The front window rolls down, revealing a male elf sitting in the driver's seat next to Callie. He leans over and looks at the two of them.
Cha-cha, stop dilly-dallying. Get your asses in the damn car. It's too cold out here.
Wesley and Clay wipe the snow off of them and get in. Barry follows and shuts the door behind them.
Oh, that's better. I hate being cold.
Callie grins while looking at Klaus DeBrusev.
Alrighty, to Unity's dream. And honestly, Barry, I don't think anyone likes the cold, unless you're a fucking Yeti or their distant relatives, the Frost Giants.
Herman looks out the window in excitement.
The Yetis always make their way out in the snow. It's a blast to talk with them.
Wesley pats him on the back before looking up at Klaus DeBrusev.
Remember, Herman, don't get too close to them, unless they actually want to talk, and Klaus DeBrusev, stop being rude and introduce yourself to Clay.
Herman scoffs.
I swear I heard that Yeti say come on over.
Klaus DeBrusev giggles.
I think it's the four of you would have already told him about me. I'm Klaus DeBrusev. I'm a friend of Callie's. We go way back.
Clay looks around at everyone.
What's that mean?
Callie scoffs.
He said we go way back. Fuck, Clay, you suck at listening sometimes.
Wesley shrugs his shoulders while looking at Clay.
It's fine, Clay. We all know that Klaus DeBrusev is good peoples.
Clay looks at Herman and Barry. They both nod their heads. He looks back at Callie and Klaus DeBrusev.
Just seems weird that you would say that and nothing else. But whatever. Is Klaus DeBrusev your driver then?
They all erupt into laughter while Clay looks blankly at them. Klaus DeBrusev catches his breath before looking at Clay through the rearview mirror.
Oh, driver? That's good. I work in the mafia, actually, but I always make it a priority to come visit my friends. I owe Callie that much.
She smiles while looking over at him.
Oh, stop. You don't owe me shit. Isabella would tell you the same thing if she was here right now.
Klaus DeBrusev holds back his tears while continuing to drive through the snow.
I know. It's hard to think that way after all these years. I don't know how you make it look so easy. Desmond would be so proud of you, Callie.
Callie turns and looks out the window at the snow falling to the ground.
We can get Isabella back, but Desmond's gone.
Barry pats Callie on the back.
I know you hate thinking about him, but your family would be proud of you, Callie.
Herman jumps in.
Yeah, and in the end, Callie saved the three of us.
Clay smiles.
Make that four.
Wesley points out the window in excitement.
You got us tickets? How?
Klaus DeBrusev parks the car next to a group of centaurs. He gets out and looks at the others.
You kids go have some fun. I'll wait here and chat with these hoof bros.
The centaurs are surprised to see Klaus DeBrusev as he walks towards them. Callie chuckles while looking at her friends.
KDB knows everyone from being in the mafia. Anyways, y'all ready to fuck this shit up?
Clay stands staring at a gigantic curtain that says, Enjoy the snow.
What is this?
Wesley pats him on the back.
Bro, it's only Unity's Dream's biggest event of the year.
Barry can't hold it in and jumps around Callie.
It's the snowy Wonderland Carnival!
Herman smiles wide while watching Barry jump around.
Callie, how did you manage to get tickets for us this year?
Wesley turns and looks back at her.
I can't even believe it. This is amazing.
Clay chuckles to himself.
You're grown adults. How can you be so excited for this?
Barry stops jumping and glares at him.
You best not disrespect the snowy Wonderland Carnival, Clay. We've been trying to get these tickets for over 15 years. My childhood dreams of going when I was little are impossible.
Callie grabs Barry's arm and starts to walk towards the carnival.
I have a friend from back in my treasure hunting days. It's starting to sound like you were a lawyer in your past life with all these fucking questions you keep asking. Sit back, relax, and have some fun.
They all laugh while walking through the giant curtain. As they push through, laughter fills the air with sounds of roller coasters zooming by in the distance. Different creatures walk around with food and drinks while conversing and enjoying themselves. A tower stands in the center of the event with a circular vehicle wrapping around and going to the top. Callie's face lights up as she smells some funnel cake.
I heard that they have the most incredible fun cake here. Excuse me while I go eat so much that I throw up.
Clay and the others follow behind her to find a long line zigzagging back and forth till it gets to them. Wesley looks at Callie.
Do we really have to stand here waiting for you to get some funnel cake?
She shakes her head.
Ugh, I suppose we could come back later. Let's just enjoy the snowy wonderland while we have time.
Herman looks over the crowd to see a roller coaster called the Troll Train.
What about this ride? We won't have to wait in a long line for this one.
Wesley scoffs.
I don't know why everyone gives trolls such a hard time. Some of my best friends in high school were trolls.
Herman laughs.
That's just because trolls were the only ones that played on the offensive line.
Barry floats above them and starts to head for the ride.
Ah man, those were the days, eh? Watching Herman and Wesley chuck a little Franz ball.
Callie pushes her way through the crowd and stands staring at a line in front of the troll train.
Well shit, Herman. I guess our perceptions of a short line are totally different.
He stands behind her in disbelief.
I don't know what happened. I swear there was no one here just a second ago. They must have paid the troll toll.
She smirks while looking over at Clay.
I just had an epiphany.
Clay nervously looks back at her.
Why are you looking at me like that? No. Whatever you're thinking, no.
Wesley stands behind Callie, smiling.
Oh, come on, Clay. You could easily go run up there, stand in front of the roller coaster, and, you know, just let it kill you.
Herman starts to approach him.
That would be so fun. Plus, you'd get to be the actual troll train. You'd be able to control the speed and everything.
Clay stops and looks at his friends. He remembers how long they've been trying to get into this event.
All right, I'll do it. Just make sure you grab my body and bring it on the train with you.
The four of them eagerly watch as Clay starts to push through the line of creatures, waiting for the ride. He stands at the front and sees the troll train finishing its final loop. A female harpy grabs his shoulder.
Excuse me, sir. Everyone else has been patiently waiting for their turn. Stop being a dick and get to the back.
Clay takes a couple of seconds to figure out what he's gonna say.
I have something that I need to do.
He runs and jumps over the rope and onto the track. The troll train roars down the final loop and blasts into Clay before coming to an abrupt stop. The creatures in line scream before running out away from the ride. Callie, Barry, Wesley, and Herman casually walk through the scared crowd.
Holy shit! Did anyone get the license plate on that troll train?
Herman snickers quietly.
I would normally be against this, but we can do so many things now with what Clay can do.
Wesley laughs.
Oh, bullshit, Herm. You used to prank our Franzball team all the time.
Barry joins in with them.
Yeah, whatever happened to all your classic prank ideas, Herm?
Herman lifts Clay's body over his shoulder while walking towards the troll train.
I've always wanted to make a name for myself in the science community, so I had to ease up on all the pranks.
As the four friends continue talking while boarding the train, Clay hears the same static sounds he always hears while entering the Death Guide world. A blast of white light shines down around him before dissipating and revealing DG sitting on his couch in front of the TV. He shuts it off before standing and waving to Clay.
There's my dude. I was wondering how long it would be until I saw you again.
Clay waves back while walking towards him.
Hey man, we're not on any adventures right now, so I guess I don't die as much.
The two sit down on the couch. DG reaches out for Clay's necklace.
So, I've been remembering some more things while you've been gone.
Another death guide walks past the two of them and nods to DG.
Hey, got any more of the good stuff?
DG nods back.
Who the fuck do you think I am? Come on, do I look like Death Guide Reggie?
Death Guide George laughs while walking towards a gray shack in the distance. Clay stares at DG, confused.
Who the fuck is Death Guide Reggie? And who is that? Who are all of them?
Clay stands and points out to the thousands of other Death Guides walking around with smoke trickling out of their hoods. DG grabs Clay and pulls him back down onto the couch.
Like I was saying, before Death Guide Greg interrupted us, I've been remembering more and more lately. Still can't remember my name, though. Anyways, the other Death Guides weren't dead like we thought. They were passed out from smoking too much of what I call the good stuff. Apparently we all keep forgetting about it because we just smoke too much of it.
A bubbling noise comes from under his hood, followed by a cloud of smoke. He stares at Clay.
What was I saying? Oh yeah, this stuff hits you hard and you forget. I've been laying off it for the most part, but, alright. Your necklace. His name is Talbot.
Clay's necklace flashes blue before floating in front of them.
I can remember now. My name is Talbot, and I wasn't always a necklace.
Clay sits forward on the couch.
Things keep getting weirder. So you remember your name and that you were something before the necklace? What were you?
It flashes blue again.
I still can't remember. It appears that DG and I share a more intertwined memory than you, Clay.
Clay looks back at DG.
If there are other Death Guides, does that mean there are more of whatever I am?
DG shrugs his shoulders.
I don't know, man. None of them are able to remember. And it really doesn't seem like any of them care.
Clay looks at the gray shack in the distance and watches Death Guide George walk out holding a brown paper bag.
How do you have an endless supply of this good stuff? What's in that gray shack?
DG turns and looks at it with him while the bubbling noise is heard again under his robe. Another cloud of smoke shoots out of his head.
I had the answer for you, but I lost it. Sorry, bud.
Clay gets irritated and starts to walk towards the shack. Talbot follows and latches himself back around Clay's neck.
I'm sorry.
But it's time for us to go back. Your friends and your next body are waiting.
Clay stops and looks back at DG, waving to him.
You're hiding something from us. Something that scares you.
His body fades away, and the flash of light blinds him again. He opens his eyes as the troll train and watches his friends climb aboard.
I'm guessing it worked?
Callie bursts into laughter.
Everyone's reactions were priceless. Well done, Clay. Bravo.
Herman smiles while placing Clay's body down in the conductor's seat.
It was so great. I'm gonna remember those people's faces for a while. Did you guys see what the train looks like? It's so cool.
Clay toots the horn of the train.
I didn't really get the chance to look at it before it smashed into me. Could you be a pal and describe it to me?
Barry interrupts while sitting down on a bench that looks like a bridge.
I got you, Clay. It's got all like these sick flames and trolls being total bosses, and some of them are bridges. It's like all in a dope comic book style.
Wesley runs up and down the three-car train in excitement.
There's like three loops and five barrel rolls on this coaster. Fuck yeah, I'm stoked.
Callie laughs at him.
If you honestly think you can stand through the ride, you, sir, are a dumbass.
Wesley walks past her and sits down next to Herman.
Fine, I guess none of you get to see how cool I could have been right there.
They all laugh while buckling themselves in. Herman yells up to Clay.
Let's do it, Clay. Put the pedal to whatever cheap material you're made out of now.
Clay smiles while revving the engine of the troll train up. Steam starts to shoot out the top as he gains speed on the track. They approach the first loop and fly through it. Barry points at Clay's body.
By the goddess, we forgot to buckle Clay's body down.
They watch as it starts to slowly slide out of the seat. It falls out as they get to the top of the loop. Before any of them can do anything, the train gets to the bottom of the loop and catches the body. Callie unbuckles herself and jumps over to it.
Someone help me get this strapped on. In.
Clay continues to speed down the track, smiling as the train. He nears the first barrel roll and yells back to his friends.
Everything okay back there? It's about to get crazy.
Callie looks back at the others.
Shit, there's no time.
She gets back to her seat and buckles up. They watch as Clay launches them into the barrel roll. His body travels around the train, falling and being caught as the train spins on the track. They get through and Wesley jumps out of his seat. He grabs Clay's body and brings it back over to Herman. He straps back in and holds the body with him.
We got this, Herm. It's just dead weight, right?
Herman chuckles while gripping it tight.
Stop making me laugh right now. We can't lose Clay's body.
Clay speeds up and flies through another loop before swirling through the next barrel roll. There's no time to adjust. Another roll appears on the track. Finally, Clay slows down as they approach a bridge in their way.
Is everyone ready? We're at the bridge.
Barry yells.
This is the moment I was born for. I'd actually be really sad if it were true.
Clay amps up the speed and crosses the bridge. He shoots through them with the remaining rolls before getting to the last loop. Herman and Wesley lose their grip, causing Clay's body to fly out. As they get to the bottom, his body lands on the front of the train where Clay's face is. He slams on the brakes and thinks about transferring back into his body. His necklace flashes blue and pierces the metal on the train. It comes to an abrupt stop as Clay sits up. He turns and looks through the window at his friends.
If we're going to do stuff like this, you guys gotta get better at taking care of my body.
They unbuckle and hop off the train with Clay. Callie smiles at him.
Thanks for making the ultimate sacrifice, Clay. What's next?
Wesley looks around before seeing the spin coaster.
That one. Let's see if any of us can handle the velocity on that bastard.
Barry nervously looks at it.
Oh god, that just makes me want to puke looking at it.
Clay nods his head.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to pass on that one too.
Herman and Callie agree before the four of them start to walk toward the tower in the center of the carnival. Wesley chases after them.
Joke's on you. I didn't want to ride this spin coaster anyways.
They stop and Callie looks up at the circular vehicle climbing to the top of the tower.
Well, this one over here doesn't spin, but it shakes. And the view from the top is pretty neat.
Herman sighs.
Yeah, that's true, but do you see the size of the line?
Barry turns to Clay.
You wouldn't make us wait in a long line like this, would you, Clay?
He laughs while nodding his head.
What are we going to do this time?
Wesley points toward a pack of wild hawks.
Are you able to turn into animals? Because one of those giant hawks will be pretty dope.
Clay looks at Herman.
My death guide told me that I can turn into inanimate objects and lower conscious beings.
Herman smiles.
I wouldn't consider the hawks beings of higher consciousness. It's a perfect time to test out this ability.
Clay shrugs his shoulders.
Well, when you put it like that, I kind of have to now. Screw it.
Clay charges at the hawks while Callie sits back and watches.
Well, you really can't make this shit up. Unreal.
Barry sits down next to her.
How are we even going to get these things to kill Clay? Aren't they, like, super docile nowadays?
Herman stands behind them, anxiously watching.
This is a common mistake. If you look closely, there are three smaller hawks. The parents will instantly want to protect them. They'll attack quickly.
Wesley walks from behind them and sits down with popcorn.
I was hoping this was going to be a show. Anyone want some poppy?
Callie and Barry smile while grabbing some from him.
Ooh, I love poppy in a good show. Are we sociopaths? Go get him, Clay!
Callie snickers while shoving the popcorn into her mouth.
Woo! Go, Big Bird, peck his ass to sleep!
They continue laughing while watching Clay jump at one of the hawks. He misses and his face smacks the ground. He wipes the dirt off and looks at one of the smaller ones.
Fine. If that's what you want, I'll go for one of the little ones.
He charges forward again, passing by the bigger hawks. Before he can attack, the little one turns and jumps, kicking Clay to the ground. The little hawk flies on top of him and uses its wings to slap him back and forth. It jumps and kicks Clay in the face before using its talon to slice his throat. Callie jumps in excitement.
Holy shit! Tweety Bird just busted his ass up!
After a couple of seconds pass, the little hawk approaches them in shame.
I know the goal was to turn into the hawk, but I wanted to at least put up a fight.
Herman laughs with the others while running over and grabbing Clay's body.
I mean, you're the smallest hawk, but that's still pretty damn big.
Wesley looks up at him.
Yeah, it's centaur shit that those dumbass hawks grew while us dragons shrank.
Callie stares at him.
Really, Wes? They're big birds with tiny brains. At least you're almost as smart as us. Sometimes.
Barry jumps forward and looks at the long line waiting to get into the tower.
And this is one heck of an ethical dilemma, Clay. I think you should fly in there and wreak as much havoc as possible.
Clay agrees while stepping forward.
Yeah, I got this. This time, make sure my body is safe, though. I prefer to actually ride this roller coaster instead of being it.
Herman gives them a thumbs up while holding onto his body.
Don't worry. I got it this time, unlike the troll train.
The four friends watch as Clay walks toward the crowd as the hawk. He gets to the middle and starts to squawk while moving his wings up and down. A couple of the creatures waiting get annoyed and move to the side. Callie laughs.
He looks like a fucking moron out there.
Finally, Clay yells out to everyone waiting in line.
The time of the hawks has come. Prepare to be the first meal for our developing brains.
The creatures in line start to panic before running away from Clay in the tower. He smiles while watching his friends walk over.
Huh, that was easier than I thought it would be.
They ignore him while staring up at the tower. He turns and looks with them.
Guys, what's going on?
Barry points up at the top of the tower.
It's a wizard, Barry. Clay, on top of the tower.
Wesley looks past him and notices others floating behind him.
He's not the only one. Looks like some witches decided to join him and his friends.
Callie looks around at everyone running away in panic.
Something tells me they're here because of us. We should probably do something.
The wizard gets on his staff and starts to fly towards them. He gets closer and shoots a fireball out from his sleeve. Clay jumps in front of his friends and uses his hawk wings to create a gust of wind that sends it back. The wizard dodges it and flies away, laughing. He lands back on top of the tower and yells,
Malachi made it very clear. Don't harm the one they call Clay. Everyone else is fair game.
Clay turns and looks at his friends.
So much for enjoying snowy Wonderland. Are you guys ready to do this?
As they nod and stand tall behind Clay, a voice in the distance yells for them.
Callie, it's time for us to get out of here. My hoofbros got a call from their science friends. Trust me, you do not want to be here for this.
Callie looks at him before turning back to her friends.
Yo, if my boy KDB is telling us we gotta go, we better get the fuck out of here.
Clay stands tall as the hawk.
I can't leave, not when I know we can help.
Herman places his arm on his wing.
The wizard said not to harm you, so that means we can't let them capture you.
Barry reaches over to his limp body and grabs the necklace.
I'm sorry, Clay. We can't let them take you.
Barry shoves the necklace into the hawk's skin. A burst of blue light shoots out of the serrated daggers. A couple of seconds pass, and it flies, unharmed, back to its pack. Barry turns and looks at Clay, being held by Herman.
Don't let him go, Herman. We gotta get out of here.
Clay struggles to break free, but Herman is too strong.
No! Let me go! We have to help them!
Herman follows Wesley and the others while Clay watches the wizard and witches cause havoc behind them. They get back to Klaus of DeBrusev's car and jump in. He starts the engine and drives away from the snowy wonderland. Klaus of DeBrusev looks at Clay through the mirror.
I should have told you guys earlier, but the Mafia has been working closely with the Allegiance. Vlad sent me here to be your escort. The five of you are too important to our cause.
As they drive away from the carnival, a loud boom echoes behind them, followed by an eruption. A wave of energy from the blast follows behind and causes their car to swerve off the road. They bust through the railing and uncontrollably slide down the icy mountain. Eventually, the car comes to a stop and they find themselves lodged into a stone wall. They climb out the front window and into a hidden ice forest. Klaus of Debrusev steps in front of them and points towards an iceberg sticking out from the center of the forest.
Welcome to Frost Springs, home of the Yetis.
Callie suspiciously looks at him.
This isn't just some random coincidence, is it?
Klaus of Debrusev laughs while starting to head toward the iceberg.
Ah, you are correct. It was no coincidence. Vlad wanted me to bring you here. I'm sorry for what happened at Snowy Wonderland. I'm sure Vlad knows the reason for the attack.
Callie looks back at the others and shrugs her shoulders. Clay walks forward and catches up to Klaus of Debrusev.
Did you know that the wizards were going to attack Snowy Wonderland?
Klaus of Debrusev nods his head.
Yeah. Vlad could not cancel the event after all the hard work that went into making it happen. Please, keep your questions for him. He and the Yeti's leader will be waiting for us. Let's not keep them waiting any longer.
Clay turns back and looks at their car stuck in the stone wall, before waving for his friends to follow.
Well, we can't go back that way. I guess let's go meet the leader of the Yetis and find out why Vlad brought us here.
They follow behind Klaus of Debrusev, passing by the snow-covered trees while sliding down the icy path towards Frost Springs.
I am just so satisfied with the house and that fight scene with the baby hawk. Pretty dope that Callie was a treasure hunter.
Yeah, Clay got his ass beat. Finding out about how the friends came to be a family was pretty cool too. Sad, but good backstory information.
Herman's dad going crazy and hurting his daughter and wife doesn't make sense to me. Especially if you've listened to the bonus episode, An Orky Orcs Giving.
Yeah, I wonder if those fucking imps came back and did something to him. Callie's such a badass for taking them in and raising them. What a role model.
Well, maybe not the greatest role model, but I do agree, she is a badass.
I'm just very interested to learn more about Wesley's grandpa and parents. Seems like there's more to it than just him getting abandoned.
Well, maybe we find out more of that in the later episodes. From what I've heard, you guys have a lot more story to tell.
Yeah, we do. There's a lot more Death Shifter to come. With that being said, let's not keep everyone for much longer. Find us on social media and send us your questions. You'll have the chance for it to be featured on a future episode.
I can't wait for the Yeti's next episode. We again want to thank Anchor for giving us an easy and reliable place to make our podcast. They also distribute it to the different platforms for all of you to listen in, which makes things really easy. Remember to follow us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or just go to our website at www.deathshifter.com. You'll find all of the links there as well as down below in the episode description. If you're interested in supporting us and gaining access to exclusive trailers, bonus episodes, and more, check out patreon.com/deathshifter. Thanks for listening, and remember,
don't forget to tip me.
Don't forget to tip me.